Strategic Christian Services, in association with Dominion Enterprises, is pleased to present Let's Talk, Communication Skills for People Who Want Healthy Relationships, with Dennis Peacock. This is Tape 5, entitled The Rules of Engagement, Defining Our Responses to Pain and Pressure.
Hi, I'm Dennis Peacock, and we're here doing another session of Let's Talk. We're dealing with communication skills that not only allow us to achieve and accomplish things as we work with other people, but deepen our relationships, whether or not it's parental, whether or not it's male-female, marriage, whatever. These are the issues. These are the skills that most of us were never even told existed. And once you begin to see them, you say, how could I have been alive so long and not understood what is required to make effective communication, let alone build a deeper relationship? Well, we're delighted that you're joining us. We trust you're going to avail yourself of some of the products and services we have to help you apply these truths in your life. Thank you. Well, here we are again, and this session of Let's Talk is going to be dealing with the principle that the agreements we make define our relationships. The agreements that we make define our relationships. And again, you know, I will use the word tragedy. That's kind of a heavy word, but from my internal point of view, I was in my 40s before I even began to understand anything about this stuff. And you wake up and say, how is it possible that we could be alive, whether you're 15 or 20 or 40 or 60 or 80, how is it possible we could be alive so long and communication is the most basic thing of life and have so little effective instruction about what's involved in communication? It's what we should all have been getting from the time we were 5 years old. But let me ask you a question. Did anybody here, and I know the answer, did anybody here ever have a teacher who taught you in school or anybody that taught you in church or anybody that taught you in any other configuration basic rules of how to communicate? And the answer is a resounding no. I mean, as I've taught this material, you know, around the world with many different groups, I could count on two hands the number of people who were ever exposed to even two or three of these principles, either by their parents or by somebody else who is an authority figure. So to me, it's an absolute miracle that relationships are able to achieve the depth that they do with so little understanding about what makes relationships work. Well, we're talking here, as we were the last session, was talking about the rules of engagement. That is, what's the language that we're going to use? And we talked about the different languages. Today we're going to be talking about the rules of engagement, defining our responses to pain and pressure. How are we going to handle pain and pressure when it comes up in our relationship? And any real relationship is going to experience pain and pressure because the nature of life is change. The nature of life is different perspectives. The nature of life is, you know, it's a moving picture, as it were, of one situation after another where we may have very different points of view, very different emotional responses, very different thought processes. And again, the beauty of a relationship is being able to communicate, what did you feel? You know, you come out of a movie. We're doing this session here in Santa Monica, California, which is not very far away from Hollywood. And all of us go to movies to some degree, okay, or watch television or whatever. What's the first question you ask your friend when you come out of a movie, or your spouse, or what did you think of the movie? Okay, now the game is on. You got people who perceive very different things. How are we going to communicate effectively in a way that we end up walking out after the conversation and feeling like we experienced something together that brought us together instead of separated us? Okay. That all has to do with communication skills. Well, I'm going to begin with a statement that I've made here several times already in these sessions of Let's Talk, and that is that love runs on rails. Love runs on rails. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus said it, not only the Savior and the Master, but the greatest teacher that's ever lived. He said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Now, I'm not talking about legalism here. He isn't talking about legalism. He's talking about the fact that the nature of our love is going to be expressed by you keeping the agreements that I've given you to keep. Relationships are built and deepened on our ability to keep the agreements we make. Now, in many relationships, even here in this session, and again, we're here in real time. People are watching this or listening to it on tape, but we're here in real time. We took a break from the last session where we were discussing these things, and in between we talked about how do we approach, you know, somebody, there's something in the relationship we really want to talk about, it's kind of sensitive, how do we bring it up? And my statement was, if you bring something up with gentleness and an appeal, you can talk about almost anything, as long as you're bringing it up in a respectful way. But the point that I want to make in that is that one of the things we have to do, and this seems so strange, I don't know why I didn't understand it earlier. Women, I think, understand it better than men do, is we need the capacity, the ability to step back from our relationship and talk about the nature of the relationship itself. So many relationships, you know, go into confusion and break off or whatever because the parties involved in the relationship don't know how to step back from the relationship and analyze the agreements or the dynamics that are going on in the relationship. And, you know, I don't want to be anti-male. I are one, so to speak. But when you bring that kind of language, that kind of a discussion up with many men, you know, it's like they don't have any idea what you're talking about. Why would we want to talk about? Why would we want to describe? Why would we want to analyze what to us as males may seem so natural? Well, again, that's a fallacy of understanding. Relationships are not natural. Okay? They're not natural. It's not something like eating. It's something because it has tension in it. There are dynamics and principles and rules and laws, if you will, that if you don't observe those laws, you're going to be running red lights, to put in a traffic analogy. You're going to be running stop signs. You're going to be running red lights all the time. And again, love is not enough by itself to hold relationships either together or to take them to the depth they need to go. We need skill. I'm thinking right now about Psalm 78, where it talked about David, and it said that David led Israel with skillful hands and a heart of integrity. It takes skill to participate in meaningful relationships. So we come back to this principle that love runs on rails. What are the agreements? What are the rules of engagement in the way that we relate to one another? They need to be clearly defined as much as we can. And I'm not talking about turning our relationships into some kind of a clinical thing where we're like, you know, doctors and we put on our rubber gloves, you know, we will now operate on the relationship. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about recognizing that if we don't have the ability to step back from our relationships and analyze and talk about what's going on, we're going to be constantly damaging the relationship and often not even be aware of it, okay? But let's talk for a moment about the nature of agreements. First of all, our agreements need to be clearly defined, as in, we were talking last time about round words, I'll be home about 6 o'clock. Well, Jan and I, over the years, have, as we get into this round words thing, Jan will say to me, well, you saying about 6? You know, what is 6, 6:15? Is it 6:30? Why are you putting this trip on me? Well, here's reality. Jan has got a life too. Jan's got other obligations and responsibilities. Dinner needs to be served from her side at 6:30. So it's not a trip. She's not trying to control me. You know, we men go into a, oh, you're controlling me trip. That's really a sign of disrespect. It's me saying that my time is more important than hers, or that she shouldn't have the right to have agreements and predictability in her life. It's all going to spin around me. And I know that's why women get so frustrated with us men, is because they understand agreements many times on levels that we don't. So if we need to eat at 6:30, then I need to be able to say, Jan, okay, I'm giving you my word. To the best of my ability, I'll be here by 6:15. And if I can't, I'll call you. You know what those little things we are that have, you know, black and have little buttons on them, they're called telephones. Look into it. See? Again, in the analogy at Adam that I was using with you, if I say I'll meet you at McDonald's about 12, if I'm going to be there at 12:45 for whatever reason, and I know you got a cell phone, we see a zillion people on cell phones, I wonder how many people on those cell phones are communicating, I'm sorry, I can't hold to my agreement, I'm going to be 20 minutes late. See, we got, again, in marriage counseling, massive hassles over the years of people who simply will not communicate that they're not going to be able to keep the agreement they made, which again breaks down the relationship, it breaks down the bridge of trust, it makes me say, you don't care enough about me and my time, you're using me, you're inconsiderate, you're whatever, you won't even tell me what's going on, and you're breaking the agreement that I thought we had. On the other side of this, every single time, we'll talk about this as we bring Let's Talk to a, I don't want to say conclusion, because all we've done is blown dust off the subject. I hope nobody here that's either watching or listening or you all think we've gone into any real depth here. We're just talking about, you know, skimming across the top of some major things. But every single time that I keep my word with Jan, the bridge of trust gets stronger because the agreement is kept. Love runs on rails. When we make agreements and keep agreements, we strengthen the bridge of trust and we deepen the possibility of the relationship. Now, agreements must be freely entered into. That is to say, we cannot coerce or manipulate. Now, you ladies wouldn't know anything about that. I've picked on the men, but you ladies wouldn't know anything about manipulation. You can manipulate with sex. You can manipulate with your femininity. You can manipulate with your emotions. Men tend to fight straight up. You practice jujitsu. You're the gentle art of setting a hold up on us emotionally before we ever knew it was set up. But as we get older, we get wise to your tricks, okay? But seriously, agreements that are not freely entered into will not hold under pressure. If you manipulated me or coerced me, or if I, as a male, talked you into an agreement by force, physical force, fear, intimidation, anything that we use to manipulate the agreement weakens the agreement, and it'll never hold under pressure. So the agreements that we make need to be mutually entered into and without coercion. And most importantly, we need to agree that once we've agreed, we're going to hold each other accountable. That means I must give Jan, I must give Joe, Jeff, I must give all of you, I must give you, if we're going to have a real relationship, I have to invite you to hold me personally accountable for the agreements that we've made. And you have to agree with me that I have the right to hold you accountable for the agreements that we've made. See, one of the reasons we got a third of the population in the U.S. now living together outside of marriage is because people are afraid to make agreements. They're afraid to be held accountable. It's not a statement that men and women don't love each other emotionally as much as they used to. It's more a statement that this culture is afraid of agreements because we don't want to be held accountable, because we've bought into the lie that agreements take away my freedom, when the exact truth is the opposite. Relationships, meaningful relationships, give me life because they're built on agreements. Agreements give me freedom. They don't take away my freedom. And this culture is going down the tubes because we have bought into the lie that agreements put you in a box. No, agreements free you and give you the opportunity to build bridges of trust and depth in your relationships. Well, let me shift. Let me talk about now the power of expectations. The power of expectations. We need to define and describe what do we expect out of our relationships. What do we expect out of our experiences? Again, speaking out of my own sin and stupidity, and I don't feel humbled to say that. It's a fact. On one level, I don't believe in humility. I believe in reality. If you're in reality, you're going to be humble because you're going to be recognizing you're screwing up all the time. Let's don't play games. Let's don't try and hide it. Let's get our screw-ups up on the table because, you know, we live in a world of this massive social game. which is called I Won't Tell What I See About You If You Won't Tell What You See About Me, and we play all these people games. And, of course, the movies have a field day when they show that, and we all laugh at the movie. We're really laughing at the game that we know we're all caught in. And in order to really have deep relationships, we have to have a commitment to break out of the game and learn how to talk about what we really see going on. And one of the things that we don't talk enough about, that we must talk about, is what are our expectations? Okay, I'm going to take, let's say Jan and I are going out to dinner. What is it? And we talk like this, and it not only doesn't take away from the joy of our relationship, it deepens us. It's not just about what kind of restaurant do you want to go to, it's what kind of a mood are you in? Are you in a mood to, you know, eat and get home? Are you in a mood for a romantic meal? What does a romantic meal look like to you tonight? Because, you know, you ladies oftentimes have different pictures. You know, we're kind of like Willy Lump Lump. You know, you lead us by a rope. You know, we just want to pet the rabbits, George. We don't really know. We have no idea what you expect. And then we'll come home and you'll be uptight. And we'll say, what did we do? Man, we went out. Well, I thought we had a good time. Well, the truth of the matter is we had no idea at all. And we were too dense to have asked you the question, what do you expect to happen tonight? Okay? Now, you can multiply that 10,000 times in a relationship. And you end up with divorce, you end up with lawsuits if we're putting this into the context of business, you end up with racism if we're putting it in the context of ethnicity. What is it that we expect of one another? What do the gestures mean? What does the language mean? What does it mean to be my friend? I'm thinking right now about a situation, a marriage situation or a pre-marriage situation, where one party is now being asked to describe, what does your ideal mate look like? I don't know, you know, women may think that way, but I know men don't, unless, you know, it's more on the lines of, you know, beauty and whatever else. But what expectation do you have? What does a friend mean to you? Everybody in here has got friends. During the break, we were talking about one of your friends, and my question would be, what's a friend? How do you define a friend? What do you expect from friends? I mean, how many broken relationships or superficial relationships do we have simply because we never take the time or no one ever taught us to define what do we mean by friend? What do we mean by girlfriend? What do we mean by dating? What do we mean by engagement? What do we mean by courting? What do we mean by marriage? Okay? When you take marriage vows, for example, you're attempting to put on paper what the expectations are for that relationship. Lawyers know exactly what I'm talking about because all legal agreements are the predefinitions of the relationship put on paper. And things run smooth if you have taken the time to define those expectations, and you can guarantee a ton of heartache and a ton of hassle, and a ton of broken relationships if we are not taking the time to define our expectations, okay? One of the last things I want to say about that, and again, this is, as you can imagine, and you can hear already so far, you know, we're talking about a lot more time to really get into this deeper, but one of the things that has helped me and helped others that I see using this tool in communication is asking the question, what does that look like? What does that look like? Okay, if we're going to have a good dinner out, if we're going to have a great time at a football game, if we're going to whatever, what does that look like to you? Again, I deal in a world of concepts. I make a living in social analysis and dealing with ideas all the time. And especially people in the business world are talking about strategy this and changing that. The question is, what does that look like? Or we could put it all the way back to love. What does love look like to you? Take it out of the abstract and put it in the concrete. Give me a mental picture. Show me a movie. Take me to something that shows me what your expectation of that idea actually looks like. Does it look like me opening the door for you? Does it look like me being on time for you? Does it look like me dressing for you? does it look, what does it look like? Whether it's male, 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 female, business relationship, or whatever. Okay? All right, let's shift a little bit here, and we'll coming down the home stretch. Let's talk a little bit more about this bridge of trust. The bridge of trust, one of the most important concepts about that, we are going to talk more about it, is the load limit. Load limit. That is, does this bridge only hold a man walking across it? Can you put a man on a bicycle, and will it still hold bicycle? Is it a man and a horse? Is it a man and a cart and a horse? Is it a man in a, you know, a lightweight car? Is it a truck? Is it a tank? What will this bridge hold? And the deeper the relationship, the stronger the bridge, the greater the load limit. Okay? That's really what all this is leading to, is making sure that we're not trying to put more weight on the bridge that we built with somebody than that load limit will take. Because if you put more trust, more expectation, more life on the bridge than it can take, it's going to collapse, and you're going to have a series of broken relationships in your life. But the principle I want to talk about right now is being self-revealing. We've talked about this a little bit already, the difference between our inner conversation, that is what I'm thinking when I see, hi, George, God bless you, glad to meet you, and inwardly we say, you know, I hope the Lord hits your foot with a brick because you broke this agreement and you did that. You know, the social game that we all play to greater or lesser degrees. And by the way, integrity is when my outer conversation and my inner conversation are the same conversation. That's what builds trust. Trust is the coming together of the outer conversation and the inner conversation. If we were going to break off into a Christian discussion here about faith, it's the same principle. Faith is where what I'm saying in my mouth and what I'm saying in my heart, in my inner conversation, are the same thing. You know, we Christians confess one thing with our mouth and then have another confession in our heart, and we wonder why our prayers aren't answered or why things don't change. The power of faith is the uniting of the inner and the outer conversation. That's a whole other world of discussion, but I think you get the principle. And the integrity of our relationships is based on me trusting, Aline, that when you and I are talking, that what you're saying to me in your outer conversation is the same of what's going on in your inner conversation. Now, the only way that I'm going to know that is, I'm not a psychic. I don't have a stethoscope that goes right into your brain. The only way I'm going to know that trust can be built is you are self-revealing. And you are going to tell me, what are you really thinking? I mean, how many times do we say that to one another? What are you really thinking? And then you're on the spot. Do I really trust you enough to tell you what I'm really thinking? Will you be offended if I tell you what I'm really thinking? And again, the depth of our relationships are built on the risk of saying, you know what? This is what I really think. You may not want to hear it, but if we're going to have any depth in the relationship, I need to reveal to you my inner conversation. We're back to 1 John 1:7. He says, if we will walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship, koinonia, with one another, and the blood of Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? That's what real Christianity is about, is sharing our inner conversation, which leads to fellowship, koinonia, community. We're back to the word commune, communication, go with. We will go with one another if we will reveal where we really are and build trust therein. So it's a revealing of that inner conversation that really builds trust and builds the load limit. The other major concept around that is what I call the assumption of goodwill. This is critical. This one principle probably changed some major things in Jan and my communication, I think, as much as any of these other principles. The assumption of goodwill means that I'm believing and I'm assuming that you mean me peace, not harm. Now, the moment we lose the assumption of goodwill towards the other person, the communication is over, because I'm moving from faith to suspicion. Now, anything that attacks the assumption of goodwill is an enemy to our relationship. Anything that attacks the assumption of goodwill is an enemy in our relationship. Now, that doesn't mean that you may not have done things or I haven't done things that would break the goodwill, but we need to get that up on the table. We need to talk about what are the breaches, what are the damages to the assumption of goodwill. But I must assume goodwill to you. And again, here's an area where we Christians really turn off people in the world, because we tend to relate to quote-unquote non-believers not with an assumption of goodwill, but with an assumption of negativity. I see that all the time. And the so-called unbelievers pick that up in us, and they say, you Christians are a drag because what we get off you is judgmentalism. We feel like when you're around you, you're judging us. And when you're being judged, it does not feel like an assumption of goodwill. It is absolutely critical that when we get into an intense relationship and we hit the pain, what I call the game is on. You know, there's the conversation and then there's the intensity. And when the intensity hits, the game is on. And we need to recognize when the game is on. And when the game is on, the number one issue is, can I hold on to an assumption of goodwill towards you, or am I going to let my inner conversation start saying negative things about you? You always do this. This is your trip. You always revert to this. You're always doing this to me. You've lost the assumption of goodwill, which means you can no longer listen, and the communication is broken off. Last thing. We need to avoid what I call destruction derbies. What's a destruction derby? Destruction derby is, I hit you, you hit me, I hit you, you hit me. Okay? Now, what happens is when the assumption of goodwill is broken down, we now go into a mutual destruction mode. We do it with words, body language, emotion, and we start pounding on each other. Now, that is a sure sign that we need to do what I call post. Post is a self-defense technique where you put space between you and the other person. You push off and get space. The reason we get space is to cool our jets, to cool down, to get ourselves back into the agreements that we made, in this relationship about how we're going to handle tension and pressure. And one of the key agreements is we are not going to get into destruction derbies. When we feel that the communication is broken down, we will post, get space, get control of ourselves, and if we can't resolve it and we see we can't resolve it, we'll step out of the conflict until a third party gets involved or until we get more peace to be able to re-engage in a way that isn't going to be destructive. I have seen, and I've been in the derbies before myself, I have seen wonderful relationships destroyed because the people refused to disengage and went into a destruction derby and maybe have lived in it for 5 or 10 years. Now, I want to wrap this up. You're telling me love is enough to overcome destruction derbies? No, it is not. It may overcome it for a year or two or five. But I guarantee, in the long run, couples that continue or families that continue or businesses, management that continues, races that continue in destruction derbies, they will eventually separate or the hostilities are going to increase. And we've got to have a rule. Jan and I have a rule. We try and abide in it. We have an agreement because love runs on rails. When we feel ourselves going into a destruction derby, we post, get space, and if we don't feel like we can resolve it without going back into it, we step away and we say, we can't fix this right now. We're going to have to just let it sit until another time arises. Well, I'm trusting again that you're hearing things in your relationship. I hope that I'm identifying. I know. I'll go out on a limb and say, I know that I'm identifying things in your relationships that have broken down meaningful relationships that you've had in the past and that you're in right now. Not because you're any different than me. I hope you get from me, I'm describing my own humanity and my own sins and all of our sins, because if these things are in one of us, they're in all of us. We all do these same stupid things. And we've got to get over it because they're destroying relationships in the church, in the businesses, in families, in marriages, all the way around. We've got to put down this silly stuff, get wise, and build relationships that are powerful, meaningful, and effective. Check into the website. We've got materials there that are going to help you facilitate the practicing of these truths in a way that are going to change your life. Do it. So, we're going to do some questions, and again, there's a lot we could talk about. Jeff, what's up?
In a destruction derby, for instance, you get into pretty heavy...
Did I communicate what a derby is?
Yes.
Have you ever been in one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But like sometimes you'll get into the destruction derby with, like, say, a girlfriend, for me, like my girlfriend. And
right.
What will happen is I will want to cool off. And
you want to post, disengage.
Yeah, I definitely want to. And I was wondering, like you said, cool off. I tend to want to, like, I've learned this from my mother. She would want to get away for a little while and come back when I'm cooled off. And I was wondering how far is too far and how long is too long? Because my girlfriend, she wants it right now. Like, let's get this done right now. And I'm just like, I just really got to cool down.
Mm-hmm.
So how long is too long?
That's a great question, and I can't answer it in a formula because every situation may be a little different. But let me ask you another question as you're into this, because this is really critical, and I know thousands of people, you know, that would be watching or listening to this would have the same issue. It's an issue that Jan and I went through. We need to talk about, we meaning you and your girlfriend, need to talk about the whole phenomena as to what is your agreement about what is too long and what is too short. The point is you don't want to jump right back into the destruction derby. Anything that gets you back into the derby is destructive. You don't want to do it. But you need to come to some agreement. Me, my thing was a little different than Jan. I think this is probably male-female, but from the woman's side of it, they want a guarantee that you're not going to forget about the conversation and just bury it under the rug, which is what men tend to do. If you'll give the woman a guarantee, hey, look, I need an hour, I need a half, I need 5 minutes, or I need to walk around the block, please give me some space, but I promise you that I'm going to come back and re-engage, and I will do my best to work it through on my side. That is what you need to communicate. The woman wants to know that she's not going to be left hanging out in the breeze, so to speak, again, and it probably, from her point of view, is again, because you won't finish the conversation. So again, it's a prior agreement. Okay, I promise you that I will do my best to finish any conversation we have, but will you agree to give me some space before I do it? And then you hold each other mutually accountable. On the other hand, your girlfriend maybe does not understand that simply talking your way through in a destructive mode is not going to lead to a solution of the problem. A lot of times people think, well, if we just stay at it long enough, we'll break through. That is not true, because there probably is a missing ingredient of understanding or perception that you don't have. And until you get it, you won't be able to fix the problem. And we'll talk about that later. But that's a great question.
If I can comment on that, I think the other thing is to make it clear it's because it is important to you to have a true resolution and not just an end of the conversation that you're looking for. It's important to you, too. I think that makes it a lot easier for the other person to accept the need for the break. It's not because you're not willing to deal with it. It's because it's important to you also.
And it's important to me that we resolve this, and the only way to resolve it is I need some space right now. There's stuff going on in me that I just don't understand, and I need more clarity on it before I can talk about it. You can't force me to talk about something I'm not clear on. So I just may need space. But you need that conversation before you get into the destruction derby, or you're going to really hurt each other. And again, in marriage counseling over the years, we've seen relationships that were split because the couples refused to disengage, they refused to post, get some space, and they just lived in a constant destruction derby, and they did love each other, but they split because they couldn't handle the pressure, simply because they didn't understand that love is built upon our agreements and how we fulfill them. You had a question, Adam, or comment?
Could you talk just a little bit more about some of the practices of building the assumption of goodwill and protecting the assumption of goodwill in a relationship?
Yeah, the assumption of goodwill is, I believe that you are sincere in the relationship and that you actually want the best for me to the best of your ability. Now, the opposite of that is, I believe you're a selfish jerk and you're just using me. Okay? Now, that is not to say there aren't selfish jerks who use people. I mean, that is true. But if I discern that about you, if I come to the conclusion that you really are selfish and this is a one-way relationship and I've confronted you and you're not able to handle it, then I'm going to disengage. There's no point in staying in the relationship if I have the option. I may not, but if I have the option, there's no point in staying in the relationship once I come to that conclusion and you don't want to deal with it because I can't maintain an assumption of goodwill. And let's suppose you and I are working together in a company, and for whatever reason I can't disengage. Then I'm going to have to work really hard at finding some common ground that both of us can agree upon and establish some rules about how we're going to relate around that, which may be the job or some part of the job. But an assumption of goodwill is my inner conversation that allows me to trust that you're not lying to me, that you're telling me the truth, and that you really want the relationship to succeed. The moment I give that up, we stop communicating. And by the way, from a spiritual point of view, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. His biggest work is to constantly challenge us internally in our internal conversation to not trust the people around us and to not trust our relationships. And that is where we have to join forces together against his accusation. And I need to share with you, if I'm losing my assumption of goodwill, and say, Adam, right now, in my mind, there's a lot of accusation against you. Let me share that with you so that we can work that out and commonly stand against the enemy of our relationship, which is this accusation that I'm sharing with you now. Again, we're back to being self-revealing. It takes risk and trust to do that, but that's what builds meaningful relationships, is sharing where the accusation is taking place at the risk of offending your friends. Well, I think that's the amount of time that we have in this session of Let's Talk. But again, I'm assuming, I think it's a fair assumption, I know I've touched and we've touched things that are going on in your life that are real, that are challenging your relationships. And my question to you is, why wouldn't you want to change them? And to do that, I think we can help. We've got some tools that I know can help. And I'm really asking you, I'm really petitioning you for the sake of your life, God's destiny in your life. Look at those tools. They really will make a difference.
This is a copyrighted program of Rebuild and Dominion Enterprises. Unauthorized duplication is prohibited. Strategic Christian Services offers a wide variety of other educational materials and training schools designed to help you live life to its fullest. For more information on our products and services, please call us at 1-800-700-0605. Join us online at www.gostrategic.org or write to us at Post Office Box 2709, Santa Rosa, California, 95405.